Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital, where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Giroux in their passion to help you live your best life. We hope you enjoy today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Sing this together.
Doctors, the world.
Let's transition now into a time of giving. We know that giving is a part of our worship, and we don't just give to get, we give out of obedience. That's what Scripture tells us to do. We want to thank you for being such a generous church throughout the season. We want to encourage you to continue to give throughout the summer months.
That's right. And you know, I remember being a little girl in Haiti, going to church with my grandmother who had very little, but when she brought her gift, her offering, her tithe into the Lord's house, she was so happy. She was so filled with joy. And that's really the model that I take on, that I remember in terms of generosity and giving. And so I just want to encourage you, church, let's go all in. Let's not shrink back in this season. Let's bring our gifts with joy and with enthusiasm.
So good. So there's simple ways to give. You can find those ways at the bottom of our screen, but don't forget, you can also automate your giving. I know throughout the summer months, as we're traveling, things get a little hectic. It just makes it really easy for us.
Right, super consistent and efficient as well.
Yep.
All right, well, church, let's pray for the giving, shall we? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are a good Father, that you have exemplified what generosity means to us, Lord. I pray that we would follow in your footsteps, Lord, and that even the word that we received today, Lord, that we would model it throughout this week after Sunday. We love you and we thank you, God, because you're a good, good Father. Amen.
Your mobile phone is with you everywhere you go, and now we are too. We are excited to let you know that we have released our new church app. Our mobile app is loaded with the greatest resources to help you better connect with the church and ultimately with God. You can look up scriptures or listen to the Bible. We have a secure note-taking journal. You can look at all of our social media, and you can even give inside of the app. There are so many features that will help you stay up to date with everything we are doing here at the church. The beautiful part is that it's all in one simple place. Download it today in the iTunes or Android store and see how easy it is to stay connected.
Heart for the House is our once-a-year offering over and above our normal giving, where everyone in our church can play a significant role. Giving to Heart for the House is a sacred moment where we empower our church to do the extra things God has put on our heart. Throughout the year, we showcase each of our initiatives. This week's spotlight is on Little Lights, an urban ministry empowering underserved and overlooked youth and families in Washington, D.C. So far this year, Citizen Heights has helped to support Little Lights by obtaining iPads and reliable Wi-Fi internet service for distance learning, providing for their many feeding programs, and providing family center supplies, including diapers, cleaning supplies, and toiletries. Little Lights also provides tutoring programs, mentorship programs, and summer activity programs for children and families. This includes life coaching and career development for adults. Citizen Heights, partner with us by giving to Heart for the House, and together we can make a big difference to help those most vulnerable. To find out more about all of our Heart for the House initiatives for 2020, check out the Heights Foundation page at citizenheights.com.
Hello, church. Thank you for joining today, wherever you're tuning in from. We're so excited to have you with us. I know that God has something specific and timely for us this morning as we dive into His Word. The Bible is always good, filled with truth and encouragement for each of us. So I hope that you will take a minute to lean in and really focus on what God has to say to us this morning with me. Today, we are going to continue in our series, Rally in the Valley. And we know that in the Bible, the valley is a low point, and it's symbolic of a place where there are challenges, and often we face battles and decisions are made in the valley. And so we've been going through this series and believing that God is going to give us those keys to finding victory in the valley. Today, I want to talk to you about an essential ingredient for finding and experiencing victory in your valley, and that essential ingredient is focus. Focus is powerful. It's a powerful thing because focus doesn't just determine our vision. It really brings things into the scope of the center. It decides what is the center of our vision, of the direction that we're going to walk in, and ultimately determines our attitude along the way. So today we're going to ask ourselves, how is my focus? Science tells us that we are continually, as human beings, specifically in our culture with the rise of technology, more and more challenged in our focus. Did you know that the average attention span of the human being has diminished since the year 2000? It was 12 seconds, and now our attention span has diminished to 8 seconds, which is less than that of a goldfish, right? A goldfish is, science tells us that a goldfish's attention span is 9 seconds. That's a fun fact. That's kind of a funny fact to me, but the fact of the matter is, it is hard to stay focused these days, especially in the midst of adversity and everything that's going on in our world, in the midst of many unknowns and many uncertainties, we find ourselves floundering, specifically in our spiritual focus, and that's what I want to talk to us about today. I don't know if you've ever been driving and lost your focus. Maybe it's so easy, you know, we always say, keep your eyes on the road. We're coming up in our family to have our third driver. My son Owen is turning 16 at the end of this month, and he is going to begin driving. And one of the things that I hear myself saying again and again as I coach our boys through that learning period is, keep your eyes on the road. No matter what's happening in your car, no matter what's going on around you, make sure you keep your focus and your eyes on the road, because that is going to keep you on the right path. Well, I have an embarrassing and kind of funny story and kind of horrible at the same time, because it's a little bit too soon. But just a couple of weeks ago, I was leaving my mom's house, visiting my parents, and I was heading to meet Michael at our vacation spot that we enjoyed over the last couple of weeks. And I left, and I had pre-entered the destination into my little GPS on my phone, but and was all ready to go. Got in my car, clipped into my seatbelt like a good, responsible driver, and suddenly, as I made my way out of my parents' neighborhood, I realized that the cell service is so bad that my Waze app was just kind of circling and searching and not really catching up with where I was, and it wasn't showing me where I was supposed to go. So this was happening, and I had Easton in the car with me, and suddenly this became a major distraction. So I'm on this road that I'm not familiar with, and it was a pretty narrow lane that I was in, and I found myself distracted, and in the course of 1 minute, just simply rubbing up on the curb to the point that I popped my tire, and there I was sitting in the middle of the road, flat tire, delayed, disappointed, and frankly sidelined from the exciting drive that I had planned ahead and meeting and going on vacation now. Thank God for AAA, because I ended up making it. But this was a focus issue. This was a distraction issue. And there I was. I got to vacation, so no worries there, but it was 5 hours late. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in life just losing focus, being distracted by real things, and having to take a moment to reset our focus. So I want to talk about that today, and I wonder if today we're going to, as we look into the life of David, we can find some keys from his life and in the Bible that are going to help us do just that. We find David in the Valley of Elah, and many of us are familiar with the story of David and Goliath, but in case it's unfamiliar to you, let me just recap a few of the highlights. We know that David was the son of Jesse. Jesse had 12 sons, and in the story, in the time of David and Goliath, Jesse was very old. He was getting very old, and his three eldest sons had followed King Saul into battle against the Philistines. David was tasked as a younger brother who was still watching over the sheep at home for his father. He was tasked to bring supplies and food to his brothers. So that's where we find ourselves in the Valley of Elah, where David arrives with the supplies just in time to witness what had been going on for 40 days straight. And that is the showdown, the face-off between the children of Israel and the Philistine army. And then here comes the Philistine champion, the giant Goliath of Gath. David arrives just in time to see the battle, to feel the tension, to see the tension even within the Israelite army. He sees Goliath. He hears the Israelite army rehearsing the size of Goliath, the nature of his battle style and his fighting style, and how he was undefeatable. He listens to everyone rehearsing the size of Goliath's sword, and even the fact that Goliath had not just a massive shield, but he had his own shield carrier. His shield was so big, it actually had to be carried by a separate person. Can you imagine the intimidation of this? We see that in this story that David becomes righteously angry, right? He becomes righteously defiant against this army that is defying not just the children of Israel, but the armies of the living God, he refers to it as. And he comes in and he begins to say, "Why are you afraid? I'll go and fight this guy." And these words, they get back to the king, and eventually David gets a meeting with King Saul where he tells King Saul, "I am going to go and I will fight Goliath." King Saul at this point is so hopeless. He tries to outfit David with his armor, but it doesn't work for David because David's not used to fighting with all of the king's armor that Saul's used to using. So David says, "No, I'm just going to use these 5 smooth stones that I found in the valley." So David sets out with his gear to fight Goliath. And this is where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 41. Let's pick it up there and read through 47. It says, "Meanwhile, the Philistine, Goliath, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and he saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. And he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." One of the biggest things that stands out to me in the midst of this whole story, if we can kind of take a step back and see the big picture for a moment, is David's incredible focus. He is not distracted by the personal criticism that comes from his brothers or the Israelite army. He's not distracted by the mockery that he sustains from his brothers, the disdain and even hatred from his eldest brother. He is not diminished by Saul's words over him that he literally won't win this battle. Nor is he discouraged as he comes to face Goliath by Goliath's size or Goliath's intimidating words. Goliath is trying to get into David's head, and he is impenetrable because David is focused on God. He is focused on God. He is focused on who God says he is, and he is focused on winning this battle, not just with Goliath, but ultimately against the armies of the evil one. And I just want to draw our attention as we take a moment to reflect on this story and where we are each in our own individual lives. I don't know what battle you're facing and what you are confronted with today, but I do know this. I do know that God is with you. I know the truth of the Word of God and what He says about you. And I know that if we can set Christ as our focus, if we can make Him the center point, that He is our victory and that we will walk into our victory with success. So how do I keep my focus in the valley as David did? I want to draw your attention to a couple of keys that I believe are going to really help us and kind of give us a hard reset. You know, sometimes it's good on a Sunday morning as we come into worship to kind of evaluate, Jesus, where are you right now in my life? Are you at the center point? Am I making you bigger than anything else? Or am I shrinking back? Am I allowing the things of this world to get in the way? Am I allowing my past failures? Am I allowing the things that are uncertain in my life to take my eyes off of you? I am so amazed at David in this story because he faces so much adversity, whether it's so much adversity. He doesn't make the battle with his brothers. He doesn't make the battle or the fight even against Saul. who brings discouragement his way. He focuses and eliminates distractions. So that's really the first key that I have for you today, is eliminate distractions. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward in faith's perfection, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures." Do you ever feel like you're caving in under life's pressures? Here is the answer to that. The answer is to fix your eyes on Jesus. You get to choose where your focus is. You get to decide what is in the center of your screen. You get to set your eyes on him and fix your eyes on him. And you know, it is a battle sometimes. It is a battle, but we're going to go walk through this together today and hopefully give ourselves some keys and encouragement on how we can not only set our eyes on Christ, but keep them there for the duration of the battle. David wasn't intimidated by the size of his opponent because he was focused on the greatness of his God. Let me say that again. David was not intimidated by the size of his opponent because he was clearly focused on the greatness and the bigness of his God. It's not that our problems are so small or that they're not real or that they're not legitimate. It's that God is so much bigger, that God is so much greater than anything that you're ever going to face, and that he is with you in the fight to lead you forward to victory in him if we can simply keep our eyes on him. It's important that we remember who our fight is with, like I just said. You know, David could have made it about a lot of things. David could have allowed the voices of those discouragers in his and the haters in his world to kind of intimidate him and cause him to draw back. But he didn't. He leaned in with intensity to the destiny that God had for him. And he moved forward into battle with Goliath in a righteous way. And he then defeated his opponent. I want to talk for just a moment, because sometimes I hear people talking about the fight of faith and how when we walk by faith, it means that we ignore what is real around us. I want to challenge that and just kind of give us a little bit of a picture of what we really should be doing in this kind of in this sense. I think that it's important we understand that walking by faith is not diminishing, nor is it ignoring the reality that is real all around us. We have been created in the image of God. We are spiritual beings. We are created spirit, soul, and body. The problem is, a lot of times, we live our lives in the opposite of that. We live our lives body, soul, and spirit. We allow the natural and physical needs and urges and things in our lives to predict our emotions and our intellect. And from there, we kind of inform our spirit of how we're going to respond. But I believe that God is calling us as believers, as Jesus followers, to flip that, to allow our spirit to be the one, the thing that leads us. The spirit part of us is the thing that leads us into that place of focus on Jesus. We are then informing from our spirit, we are informing our intellect and our emotions of the truth of God's word. And that helps us to take captive the thoughts that we let live in our head. And in that point, we can really make the decision, you know what? I'm focusing on Jesus. Then we move from there into the physical, into the natural, into the righteous action that we're called to take, to be the difference makers, to be the change bringers, to be the bridge builders in our generation, just like David was. It says here in Ephesians 6:12, it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Global pandemic, economic, crisis, really, racial injustice, political insecurity or uncertainty. The Bible says that in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? To be more than a conqueror, we found out in our Bible study this week in our citizen groups all across the, you know, our church. We're all studying the same curriculum right now, but we found out to be more than a conqueror, it means to not just barely scrape by with the win, but to be an overwhelming victor in the circumstances of our lives. Do you ever watch a basketball game and the final score is like 150-6? Come on, that's more than a conqueror. That's the kind of victory that God is calling you to in this season. Focus on God and filter through His Word, and this is what leads us to that righteous action, that leads us to that victory, that leads us to keeping our focus on Him, and then everything else falls in line. A couple ways that we can diminish distractions is simply by leaving our past behind. It's important as believers that we settle our yesterday. Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, was not shy about his own struggle. He said this, he said in Philippians 3:13, "I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus." What was that focus? It was, "I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead." God is calling us to step out of our past and to walk into the future that He has prepared for us. This is how we keep our focus on Jesus. Another great way to keep your focus on Him is be a worshiper. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, specifically in verse 3, it talks about when we worship God, we enter into this amazing download, this divine exchange that can only take place in the presence of a supernatural God, where He exchanges our ashes for His oil of joy, our mourning for His garment of praise, our spirit of despair, amen, for His garment of praise. When we put on the garment of praise, there is a spirit of heaviness that comes off of us. Maybe today you're struggling and you're distracted with either depression or anxiety or fear or worry or feel just a general feeling of heaviness. The way we eliminate this distraction is being a worshiper. I also want to encourage you to press in as a prayer warrior. Do you know you're called to be a prayer warrior? You're called to be a Jesus-centered person who's focused on Christ, and the way we achieve that is being a prayer warrior. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious for anything." It gives us a solution for anxiety. It says, "But through everything, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Isn't that powerful? That we don't have to allow anxiety to distract us. God gives us these amazing, practical, powerful solutions to allow our focus to be on Christ, to be thankful, to make sure that gratitude is the center point of our attitude, and to keep our focus on Jesus in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the fight. Lastly, I want to encourage you to stay connected. Stay connected. You know, in Hebrews 10, this is one of my favorite verses, and I know I've shared it with you even recently. Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together." Did you hear that? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I want to encourage you in these times to stay connected, to be a worshiper, to be a prayer warrior, amen, and to stay connected, leaving your past behind. You know, we need each other now more than ever before, and I know for me right now, it really is a decision to strategically and on purpose stay connected with the family of God, to stay connected in my citizen group, to stay connected to what God is saying in the church by tuning in on Sundays, by being a part of what God is building. And I want to encourage you to do the same. You know, sometimes it's hard to take those steps. Maybe you feel like you've fallen back or there have been distractions. But again, today is a day to take a moment to assess, to refocus, to recenter on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. in Jesus' name. I want to just close with today by praying with you, praying for you in this moment. And I want to pray for all of us as we close, just to respond to Christ as is appropriate for each one of us. You know, we're spread out right now and we're not together in one room, but the Holy Spirit sees you. He sees your situation, He sees your circumstance, and He is with you in the middle of it. He wants to meet you right where you are. If we would take this moment to really consecrate our hearts to Him, would you bow your head with me wherever you are and just agree with me in this moment of prayer? Father, we thank you that you truly are a good God, that you are with us, that you are for us, that you go before us in the battle, and that in you we find our victory. God, I pray that today would be a day of refocusing and recentering our eyes on you, that we would fix our gaze upon you, and that we would not allow the distractions that are all around us to unseat you at the center of our lives. God, we know that it's with this in the center, with this Jesus-focused, Bible-filtered life, that God, we are going to achieve all that you've called us to achieve, God, that we are going to navigate this season with excellence and with beauty, Father, that we are going to be able to bring many people to the saving knowledge of you. And Father, lastly, we're going to just simply bring glory to you in this season. God, we exist to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're tuned in today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're wondering what that would be like and how you can get started. I want to pray with you today and just invite you to repeat these words after me as I pray them aloud. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, just repeat this after me. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Make me new. Help me to follow you, to walk in your ways. I want to live a life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Breaking new ground. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, renew I'm out of me. Make me your vessel.
Decision to follow Jesus today, we know that all of heaven is rejoicing, and we're so excited that you said yes. Here are a few next steps for you. The first is to tell someone, tell your friend, tell a neighbor, but most importantly, we'd love for you to click on that connection card. We want to know more about you and how we can help you along the journey.
That's right. And number two is so simple. Jump into God's word. You know, the Bible tells us that his word is a light onto our feet. I love that imagery so much. And so I just want to encourage you, friend, our Citizen Heights app has a Bible that is free and available to you at any time. So jump on there and let's get growing in Jesus.
That's right. And the last thing is to get involved. You can get involved right now by engaging in the chat feature and joining a citizen group. Click that citizen group link and get connected today.
That's right. Well, church, thank you so much for inviting us into your homes. We love you. We know that what God has in store for you is immeasurably more than anything could ask or pray for. And we just want to remind you that our pastors and our hosts are still available to pray for you, to pray with you. So be sure to jump on there and let's pray and let's believe for all God has for us. Have a great week. We love you.
That's right. Hasta luego.